This is the Recency Bias, your, early evening, late afternoon? What would you say it is, Ian?
The Twilight Hours mini pod.
That's got more romantic than I expected. Not than I wanted it to, but more than I expected it to. That is Ian Boisvert. You know him by now. It's Saturday. It's a semi-habit. He's stopping by. We're not doing this late on a Saturday evening, though, and this will be up before Sunday morning because the Habs had a 1 o'clock game on Saturday afternoon against the Ottawa Senators, their fourth game in 6 days, coming off a loss on Thursday evening that none of us enjoyed at all. And so the Canadians come out of this one with a 2-1 win, of a frustrating win, I believe our own Ian Boisvert said on the Rabbit Habs Twitter account. I saw Eyes on the Prize. Their headline for this one was, well, they won. That sounds right.
Yeah, the title is of the post game that's now up on rabbithabs.com is the bad win.
Yeah.
They won, but, it was just afternoon hockey. I'll speak for myself here. I always hate it. Mm-hmm. It's bad. I said that the last time I was here. I hate it. And, maybe there's a little bit of that involved in this, but, they got outskated by the Ottawa Senators, who have 2 wins in like, 13 games. It's just not a good look.
No, it's not a good look. That's exactly what it is. It's not a good look. As far as the afternoon game, normally, not an afternoon game guy. Super Bowl weekend. Generally, I like the game on Super Bowl Sunday that's in the afternoon, which is not happening this year, because I can't watch that many hours. I will watch that many hours of football pregame, but I don't like it, but I still need to be in front of my TV and eating something. So having the hockey in there is nice. We don't get that this year. I guess because it's a pandemic and I got nothing to do on a Saturday, I enjoyed, get a little brunch action together, drinking coffee throughout the game. I was looking forward to it today, though now I've got this whole night in front of me. And as you say, the action doesn't quite live up to what a night game brings. The atmosphere, this is me making this joke for probably the third time, and I'm not alone on this joke, but the atmosphere around the Canadian Tire Center does not change in a pandemic or on a Saturday afternoon in a pandemic. It's the same thing. There was nobody there. It was a ghost town. So out of that part, it might have been the same as any other time. But yeah, not my favorite scenario for a game. And this one kind of played it out this way. Though, I gotta say, I wanted to see how the Habs bounced back after that loss on Thursday. And if we just took the first period, it looked really good. They came out ready, despite everything we were just talking about. It fell off the rest of the way.
Yeah, I was looking at a lot of things that they did wrong in the first game of this set. One of which was their forecheck was almost non-existent mm-hmm. against Ottawa on Thursday. And yep. if you were only looking at that in the first period, you'd think the first period was a win.
Yeah.
They were, all four lines were pounding in the Senators in their own zone. They were trying to retrieve the puck. The Senators as a team, they already toss the puck away a lot. They give away the puck a lot. They're not very skilled at most of their positions.
No.
So when you can supplement their giveaways with you taking the puck away, you're going to have the puck a lot on any given night. That was better. The possession numbers looked better. They kind of crushed them in the first period as far as possession numbers went.
Yeah.
But I'm not loving the shot selections in this game. And it's usually, mm-hmm. it's not something that, on most nights you'll notice. But when it felt like, especially in that first period and in the second period, whenever they got a shot attempt, I felt like 50% of them hit the glass.
Mm-hmm.
That can't happen.
No, there's a lot of distant shots. Some were getting on net. I was frankly quite happy with the first period. I thought the first 20 went the way you would want to see it go. It was the rest of the way that things got clunky for the Habs. And I'm not really sure why. We'll go through here. The only other starting thought I had noted down was the power play. Very anxious to see what that got up to, because that came into this game 1-for-11 in the previous three. It was not the power play that we'd seen in right. the first part of the season. And in the early going, there's an interference call on Brännström, and 6 minutes in, it's 1-0 Habs with Petrie getting his 6th on the season. One more time, who's the Norris for this year there, Ian?
Petrie for Norris. Hashtag Norris, Petrie for Norris.
Norris 5 Petrie. Got it.
Yeah.
I'm not good
standing
at
standing for the 1 fifth place vote he got one time that I have latched onto since it happened.
Hey, man, there's no doubt he should be in the Norris conversation right now. His 6 on the season power play goal. Drouin missed a good opportunity right before and Petrie came in and put up. The Habs up 1-0. My note here says the forecheck is back in this one, which is exactly what you're talking about. That first period, we did see it. But Romanov took a penalty, and Colin White cashed in 1-1. Allen made some good saves in the first. We'll get into what his game was. And the first period, a little worried, but a much better finish than in that previous game in the final minute of that first period. They did everything you wanted to see. There was all sorts of pressure from the Canadians. There was no let-up. And I felt really good after those first 20 minutes. Then around the halfway point of this game, things started to feel like they were sliding away from the Canadians. Jake Allen had to do some great work on an Ottawa power play. There was the Jake Evans high stick on Stützle. There was a few power plays. I was starting to get nervous at that point, really.
Yeah, especially because I don't think the penalty kill looks all that good.
No.
You know, everyone, you know, it's funny. I try to avoid being on Twitter during the games because I live in the States and the feed is delayed. So if I'm on Twitter, the game's ruined for me before I get to see it. But, you know, during commercial breaks, I go back and I look at what people have been saying. And everyone was like, ah, great penalty kill. They killed it off. They were hemmed in to their zone on all of those power plays for most of the time against the 23rd ranked power play in the league. It's not good.
So you said you don't think the penalty kill's very good. Has it not been good lately, or are you not liking what you've seen all across the season?
I think the shorthanded goals have made this penalty kill a bit of a paper tiger. I think that, you know, people look at the Canadiens' penalty kill, they go, well, they've got 7 shorthanded goals. They must be great. But when the puck gets into their zone, they're not covering passing lanes. They're not, you know, we saw it against Vancouver. They did that same passing play to Bo Horvat in the slot 3 times, and it worked every single time. You know, Edmondson on that penalty kill is trying to do his best Hal Gill impression, just laying across that passing lane, but it doesn't work. I'm not sold on how they play in the defensive zone when they are shorthanded. Obviously, you can't take the goals away from them. Goals are goals.
And they apply tremendous pressure, I think.
Right. I think that they're and I looked at this in an article recently on Rabbit Habs. I like how the forwards play on the penalty kill. I like how they attack and how they stay on top of guys and they make it so the breakout can't come in cleanly. But if they do get in, they're in for a while. Like, they have a hard time retrieving the puck. I'm hoping it's just a blip and they figure it out, but it's been concerning. Like, Ottawa's not good.
No,
you know, I think everything that Ottawa did well in this series, you have to look at under the guise of they're not very good. It should be considered a failure that the Canadians struggled to do a lot of the things they wanted to do.
No, and it will be. As the headlines that everybody's putting out there about this game, it's not an exciting win like the previous wins that they'd put up. It was a necessary win. The panic that would have set in with, 5 days before, 4 days off before they played the Maple Leafs on Wednesday night, that would have been palpable. And probably this win didn't do a lot to even reverse how people are feeling heading into, at least compared to how good they felt coming into this series against Ottawa. There is always the caveat of, I still think this is a good team, you know, to repeat our conversation from last Saturday and to repeat what I was saying even on Thursday, after Thursday's game. But so I still think this team may have played down to the Sens, which you don't want to see, but, you know, isn't, I'm still not super concerned. You've got to fix that, though. I mean, Claude Julien, after the game, he's saying he was happy that they had to play a close game, that it was that it wasn't a pretty win, and they gutted it out. I guess from a coaching standpoint, the 5-2 wins and, you know, the 6-3 destructions of Vancouver, you can't do as much with as a game like this. But I don't know. That feels like you're taking... I mean, I know that Julien did blow up after that second period with good reason. I mean, at one point, the Canadians were out shooting Ottawa 26-10. And then by the time, you know, that was what, like 4 or 5 minutes into that second period. By the time that period got done and the ice had tilted entirely the other way, they were outshot 7-13 in the period and the shots had become 26-21 in the game. And as you say, a lot of those shots anyway had come from not that dangerous of a shot selection on the afternoon. So I get why he was upset from what he saw in that second period. It wasn't the complete, like, it wasn't the lack of concentration that we saw on Thursday night. It wasn't any of that. It was a little, I don't know what it was. What did you make of the second?
The way I look at this, Montreal has two regulation losses on the season. Mm-hmm. They've got one against Calgary and they've got one against Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And in both of those games, the team that beat the Canadiens played low risk, low reward hockey. They played very, like, you know, and every other game this season, Montreal is good for like two or three breakaways a game, right? Yep. We haven't had one in two games.
That's true.
We didn't have any against Calgary in the game we lost 2-0. That was really 1-0. You know, I think that, and I'm curious to see Winnipeg, because we haven't seen Winnipeg yet. They play a kind of a similar style to Calgary. They want to play a defensive game. They don't want to play run and gun. But Vancouver and Toronto and Edmonton, they all want to go run and gun. And that's what, like, Montreal matches up well against that because they can do that now. Yeah. They haven't always been able to. But the Calgarys, the Ottawas, and I'm curious about Winnipeg, they don't play that way. They are going to make you beat them to harder working areas of the ice. That's why the first period was so refreshing to see, because they outworked them. And, you know, Ottawa's not going to beat you with their skill. They're going to outwork you. Maybe Tkachuk is going to draw a lot of penalties and that's going to help, but you gotta work for it. You know, it's going to be different on Wednesday going back to playing Toronto, because that game's going to be 6-5.
Most likely.
You know, it's going to be a gong show. You know, I don't know how much of the, and it's still so early in the season, even though it's not really, because it's a 56 game season and we're already like a fifth of the way through it.
We're 20% of the way there.
Right. But this is our first time seeing a lot of these teams still, because of the schedule made us play half of our games against Vancouver in the first 10 games of the season.
Exactly. In my middling thoughts, you brought up Tkachuk there. I finally learned to spell Tkachuk this afternoon, by the way. Very proud of myself. As siblings, they're annoying as shit. I mean, we knew this. I'm not breaking any news here, but really feeling it this year. Whereas I feel like, just because, you know, the Ottawa Tkachuks we've seen less of, and Calgary we don't see a ton of in the season. This year, I really get the feeling that I think the rest of the NHL has had for a couple seasons now about these Tkachuk kids.
Yeah, and I mean, as annoying, I think Brady was more annoying in these two games than Matthew was in the two that we played the Flames, but kept both of them off the score sheet. You know, that's impressive. I do think that one positive, I mean, it's hard to say, like, oh, there's only one positive you can take away from the season, but one of them is Montreal's done a pretty decent job keeping other teams' top players off the score sheet.
Yeah.
McDavid and Draisaitl had 1 point in a three-game set. You know, I think Matthews had a point in the first game. No points for Tkachuk in this one, although Stützle blew them up on Thursday. He was amazing.
Umlauted.
So I do think that that's a very positive thing from the season. And I hate Brady Tkachuk. The kid drives me nuts. Keeping him off the score sheet is nice.
Keith, your sons are annoying. Into the third, which was where the Canadians would take the lead once more. Game-winning gold from Anderson on the third rebound. Drew had a shot, Suzuki had a shot, and then Anderson there. Petrie really is the guy, though. Petrie for Norris, the guy that got it all going. Nice shot in. Drew had a good night, actually, or afternoon. I thought Drew played last Saturday when we talked. We said that was a game. Drew was bad. Today, I thought he was one of the Habs' best players.
He was around it all day. Yep. Like, there was that one sequence at center ice where essentially his teammates were going off on a line change, and Drouin had to just stick handle his way through like three Ottawa Senators. Like, I think Tkachuk threw a hip check that missed, which was very funny.
Yeah, it was nice. I was actually, it was like a hip check that missed, but like Drouin made him miss the hip check. Right. He pulled his hip out of the way.
Absolutely. And then after that, I think he stick handled through two or three more guys.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to like go in on his own. He was just trying to buy time for his teammates to come in. I think that's been a big turning point for Drouin so far, is he's not trying to do all this stuff on his own.
Exactly. It's very helpful.
And he's got a line that he doesn't need to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got arguably the Canadiens' best forward at center, and then this hulking power forward on the right side.
I know. Who's amongst the league leaders in goals now. Trails his teammate Tyler Toffoli.
I don't like to give Mark Bergevin a credit for a lot of things. I don't
what are
think
we gonna
many
do?
People many what are we gonna do?
What like, are we gonna
like,
do?
You're completely right. Like he I think and in the post game on Rabbit Habs, I said they're making him look like a genius,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. I'm glad that I'm eating my words on this guy because it means the team's good.
Exactly. I'm happy to be wrong on this one.
Right.
I'm not, and as Sean said when we did our last big pod a couple weeks ago, like it doesn't mean the rough times were he was a genius in waiting. Like that's not how that works. But he's learned and he pounced at the right opportunity. Now, you could say luck that this any of this kind of came together, but that's I don't care about that. Like, that's general managing is mostly luck. Well, mostly. That's probably unfair. It's a lot of luck as far as who hits and who doesn't hit and who becomes available at the moment that you happen to have the space. I mean, you know, as a Toronto Raptors fan, I know how it is to luck into Kawhi Leonard, and that's your title. But it doesn't take away the fact that the GM had himself positioned ready to jump on an opportunity. And if you want some longevity, I think that's kind of how you have to manage this team. The Athletic had a good piece this week comparing the road to how we got here between Ottawa and Montreal, who found themselves in a very similar spot a couple seasons ago and are obviously in very different positions now. And how does that happen? And a lot of it's luck, but, you know, hat tip to Bergevin on this. The players he brought in, especially this afternoon, have been working out fantastic, and they've taken a team that was the 24th best in the NHL, and I think that's exactly where they were rightfully, and turned them into a Stanley Cup contender. He deserves the points. What are we going to do? I would like to, you know, I said enough bad things. I asked for his head several times. I also said he should trade Shea Weber and Carey Price a bunch because that was the right way to rebuild. You read that piece from The Athletic, it sounds like keeping Weber and Price around is what convinces other guys to come and the reason they're in the position they are now. So, you know, good job.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, luck being part of being a general manager and, you know, making your own luck. He, mm-hmm. you know, he traded a 70-point center for Josh Anderson. Now, it was a one-time 70-point center. It's like saying he traded a 30-goal scorer for Max Domi, which is what he did.
Yeah. It's like saying we're facing 30-goal scorer Alex Galchenyuk this afternoon.
Right. Like, you know, all signs have been saying that a lot of teams wanted Josh Anderson. He was mm-hmm. a coveted player this offseason. You know, Montreal doesn't get a lot of the big free agents. They're not going to sign a Taylor Hall. They're not going to do that sort of thing because no one wants to come here for the taxes.
Yeah.
You traded for one of the top trade targets in the offseason, and you got him, and he's on your team, and he's got 8 goals.
I'll take it.
It worked out. Like, I was nervous. I know you guys on the big pod were both nervous about the term. I think Sean said, this is very David Clarkson-esque, yep. And I don't blame you for your brain going there, because it did look like that.
I felt it.
But I mean, it's paid off so well.
Oh,
it's early, but it's paying off real well.
Look, I mean, all over the place. The longstanding chasm in the Habs fan universe of the PK Subban trade for Shea Weber has worked out in the end. Like, I've got to give Mark Bergevin credit here, and maybe it's one of those things where it takes a while. Maybe this falls apart. Maybe it falls apart this season. Maybe it doesn't work next year. I don't know. But right now, he's made the right moves. And in a game like the game on Saturday afternoon, it looked genius. Because I'm not sure. I mean, who knows? Carey Price can have any kind of game, but he's been fighting it lately. I'm not sure we come out of Saturday with a win if it's Price. Allen's just the guy right now. He's just a little more solid on some of the softer things.
Yeah, it's certainly not a goaltending controversy.
I love that. Throw that in there. That's not a goaltending.
I said it on Thursday after that game, you know, that I'm not ready to hit the panic button on Carey Price. He starts slow. It doesn't matter what month it is. I know it's February, but, you know, it's still only game, what was that, game 13? Game 12?
Yeah, 12.
You know, he'll figure it out. He's Carey Price. I'm not worried about it, as long as he's healthy,
yeah.
Which you hope he is. But, you know, I think he's – there's two ways that the Canadians could have handled this. I thought going back to Price tonight would have been the right move. Tell Carey Price, you're still our guy. Go get us a win.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see the other side of it, which is, hey, we need to get a win, and Jake Allen's hot right now, and maybe that fires Carey Price up. Maybe that makes him think I have to go out there and I have to beat the Maple Leafs on Wednesday.
Yeah. Because he'll get that start against the Leafs on Wednesday. They play Edmonton the following day, so that means we'll probably see Allen in this one. And as they were saying on Nancy Shamba, which I try not to watch, but it's a Saturday afternoon, so I was there was no like Sportsnet or something else to kick to. And they brought up the good point of there's a lot of games that are going to be very meaningful at the end of the season, even some back-to-backs against Toronto and whatnot. You might have Carey Price going in all of those. So Jake Allen's the sure hand right now. It is Ottawa on a Saturday afternoon. So all of that is, you know, a bad team in a strange scenario in a bizarre town. And so, yeah, give Allen the start. It makes sense. If they've split the starts 50-50 going into the midway point of the season, Carey Price is still the guy. And so he's probably going to pick up more of those starts on the back half if you're in some sort of race, which they're definitely going to be in some sort of race. And right now it looks like it could be for first place. So I think it's completely fine. I understand. I'm sure Carey Price wanted to start this game. I'm sure he did. But we might be in a different scenario if he did. I think Jake Allen was really solid in this game.
I think an angry Carey Price is also a weapon for the Canadiens.
Yeah.
Make him sit on this until Wednesday.
Yeah,
make him go play that Toronto team mad on Wednesday. That's going to be sick if he comes out and he plays like the Carey Price that we know he can be.
And here's the other thing. As far as the team, it's you lose two games to Ottawa. Had Carey Price lost both of those, that's a problem.
Right.
Allen loses one. Had they lost today, it's a problem. But it's not the same scenario. We're not dealing with the same narrative headed into that game on Wednesday. And as you say, maybe it fires up Carey Price, just gets him sharp for the team that actually – Ottawa doesn't matter. These are the games that are actually not four-point games. They are not going to be in any playoff pictures. That's a fact. So, you know, here we go. The real games are the ones against Toronto. Let's everybody be ready for that one. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm already – it's late Saturday afternoon, and I'm like, how many days till that Leafs game? It's appointment viewing now, and we've got two of those in the week coming up. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's, as much as I dug on the afternoon games, now I can watch, you know, Toronto and Vancouver should be kind of fun at 7, and then there's a Battle of Alberta on at 10. Like, it's pretty good for a Saturday night.
I know. You know? It's so – I've been watching so much more hockey this year.
Yeah,
I continue to say it. I'm sure everyone's sick of me saying it, but hey, at least I know what I'm half talking about, making it up like I used to. I got down here in my notes since we've got to the third period goal where Montreal took the 2-1 lead. I said, as Ian notes, Habs trying to kill the final 15 minutes of the game. And that's what happened. They really did just try to sit in. It was reminiscent of the Canadiens of the last decade in those final 15 minutes. And it worked, but... you know, not that fun to watch.
No, that was Michel Therrien hockey. That was get the puck at the blue line and chip it over them. Hope you don't ice it. They actually didn't ice the puck as much as I thought
they
were going to.
It was like a little more controlled version of that for whatever. Maybe it's just because Ottawa's not good.
It sucked. They punted for the last essentially period of the hockey game. They scored a minute and a half into the third, and then they just punted for the remainder of the period, which... I mean, against Ottawa, you might be able to afford to do that. Ottawa didn't score a 5-on-5 goal in this game. Their only goal came on the power play.
Yeah,
so maybe you
point.
Can – but, I mean, they were feeling it with Allen, clearly. I think they just wanted to make sure they could get those 2 points.
I think that's what it was. But with that said, so if you're playing that way, one thing you don't want to do is get a dumb penalty. And Sherratt – provoked by Tkachuk, which is what he's supposed to do, he provokes him in. Luckily, the Sens look terrible. And actually, that I think was the most effective penalty kill by the Canadiens on the night.
Yeah.
They did a pretty solid job. Ottawa just never got that one together. And then Suzuki was able to draw Shabbat into a call and made it 4-on-4 and even gave the Habs a bit of a power play late. So it all kind of quickly got put to bed, but not ideal, Sherratt, putting them in that scenario when, you know, as they can pull Matt Murray and suddenly have a 6-on-4 in a game where they've been coming at you for 15 minutes. One might trickle through at some point.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's funny that the TSN broadcast cut to that camera in the corner well right as Sherratt and Tkachuk were going into the corner. And you saw Tkachuk eye Sherratt up and down and say, I'm going to draw a penalty out of this. Like, he knew as soon as he went into that corner. Sherratt hangs around his neck and then goes, I didn't do anything. And then at the end, right off one of the last faceoffs of the game, he cross-checks a guy in the back of the head.
Good stuff.
And he's like, oh, I didn't do anything. You cross-checked him.
Cross-check this kid, man.
As much as I complain about the officiating this year and every year because it's always atrocious, like, I'll definitely give it to our guys when they take a dumb penalty. Those were both dumb penalties by Ben Sherratt, who is a key part of the penalty kill, apparently. He can't be taking penalties like that.
No.
That late in the game, ever, really. It's like if Deneau takes a penalty. He can't do that.
And speaking of penalties, there was the non-call. Evans, the latest in the gang of Montreal Canadiens who have taken pseudo-headshots as far as the NHL is concerned this year. So I wanted to pull up, I saw a few people tweet this out, the double IHS wording. Because look, we recognize we did this a week ago, you and I. We recognize that as the rules are stated, the NHL's playing by their own rule book. Like, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing suspect about how these things are getting called as far as a rule book. We just obviously have a problem with the rules. And here I got a screenshot, but I've also got like 12 shots of my new niece in there. So let me find this. It's just all baby pictures. All right. So this is the double IHF's rule, because the NHL's rule is like the head has to be targeted, right? That's their whole deal. The double IHF rule. There's no such thing as a clean check to the head. A player who directs a hit of any sort with any part of his body or equipment to the head or neck of an opposing player, or drives or forces the head of an opposing player into the protective glass or boards. This rule supersedes all similar actions regarding hits to the head and neck, except those related to fighting. It's just, did you go for the head? Is the head the point of impact? Not targeting, not... So it's up to the NHL if they want to get rid of this. As Julien was saying after the game, you know, he said, it's not just my, I've had three guys on it, but you don't want to see that to anybody. And the other thing you pointed out is in an NHL that is, scare quotes here, cares about whether or not concussions are a problem for it and does the whole concussion protocol. So on those hits, you're guaranteed to lose your guy for at least 10 minutes while he goes through the concussion protocol. That's just what's going to happen. So if we see that the scenario has sent the guy to the concussion protocol, Can we be 2 minutes? Can we fucking put 4 minutes in if you draw blood from somebody's dry ass nose? Like, come on, we can work around this.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I also, there's a, you know, towards the end of my post game, I did mention like head hits need to just be illegal.
Exactly.
And I'm glad you brought up the double IHF, because I said international ice hockey, it doesn't matter. In the NHL, like, we saw it in full force tonight, several different ways that high sticking is a hit to the head, mm-hmm. and how it's called sometimes and how it's called not sometimes. Stützle high sticks Kulak's stick into his own face and draws a penalty. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, on a follow through on a shot, well, that's not a penalty. They, you know, we've determined that stick contact with the face is a penalty.
Yeah. You know why we made up those rules?
Why is a shoulder not different?
Exactly.
Right. Why is a shoulder different? Why is a forearm different? An elbow? Like, it's asinine to me. And they need to take, like, When fucking Cassie Campbell is on Hockey Night in Canada saying, well, it needs to be 50% of the head, what they're doing is they're setting up a situation where a referee never needs to make the right call.
Never.
And Dops never needs to make the right call, because they're attributing a measurement to something that cannot be measured.
Yeah, like, exactly.
No one, you know, they don't have fucking Jonathan Lipnicki out there saying like, oh, that's half of his head. That's 4 pounds. So that's a major penalty. No one's measuring Jake Evans's head when Gudbranson's shoulder is hitting it. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Yeah, the human head weighs
8 pounds. I know who it is. I'm older than you. I was around when that happened.
it's ridiculous that NHL officials are incompetent. They are bad at their jobs. They do not make the right call most of the time. Why are we letting them make the wrong call still? Why are we letting George Parros make these calls still? Take it out of their hands.
Exactly. You can change the rules if you care about this. And you should. Because, I mean, just even if it's just for the what feels like a fair trade-off, for if the guy has to go through concussion protocol, the guy who delivered the hit that would send someone into concussion protocol should maybe get a penalty. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still stand by the fact that all three of these head hits were delivered by players who were trying to hit Canadians in the head, but they suck at hockey, so they weren't able to do it. Tyler Myers is bad at hockey.
That's
Eric Gudbranson is bad at hockey.
These are true.
Like, they're trying to do it, and they're not doing it because they're bad at hockey.
Bad at hockey, the Ottawa Senators. That's a fact. At least the Canadians get out of it with 2 points. Not ideal, but it wasn't 2 losses, which would have definitely brought things down a notch. So they off they go. Toronto 7:30 on Wednesday. Thursday against Edmonton at 7, and then Saturday, a huge game, no matter what happens on Wednesday. Saturday night's going to be electric, because then the Canadians are off for one of those 5-day stretches again. So these next 3 games, we can, you know, the Ottawa games are going to be an afterthought after 2 games against Toronto and Edmonton. Whatever happens in those games is really going to be indicative. For the Habs, they just kind of have to turn to the next page from these games from the Senators. You've got plenty as the coaching staff to say, hey, here's what we obviously don't do now, and you work from that. But you just got to turn over from these 2 games. They weren't fun, even though they won one of them, that's for sure. I guess that's the thing about being a good team. This would have been a win that we would have been happy about a season ago, I think, because a win's a win. But that ain't the case this year. We wanted to see better. Turn it over now, I guess.
Yeah, like you said, the expectations are different. You know, if the 2017 Canadians beat this team, we're pumped. But right now, it is a bummer because of the way that it's not even enough now that we're beating teams. It's how we do it. You know, that's what's going to be the next thing that this team grows through.
Well, Julien, in his post game, said he attributed some of what he thought he saw, and this probably speaks to the final 15 minutes you were talking about. It was, again, their 4th game in 6 days. Fatigue might be setting in at that point, especially in a game against Ottawa. It's the same as the last game. I understand why all of this might have happened, but it isn't ideal. Not ideal. Yeah, well, they won. At least we don't have to be miserable through our Saturday evening with Phoebe Bridgers on Saturday Night Live, Canada's own Dan Levy. I never watch SNL anymore, but tuning in for Phoebe Bridgers. That's my pop culture shot on the day. Shots were 32-35 in the end. Canadians somehow outshot in this game. Ridiculous. That's how things tilted. They were up 26-10, and it looked like they might get 60 shots on Murray at one point. Yeah, great night for Allen. 971, so his save percentage is probably like at 930 right now. He's looking fantastic. Petrie and Anderson, we know with the goals. Suzuki and Drouin continue to keep their steady flow of points going through this season. I guess when Anderson's got 8 goals, that's what happens. No huge shocker on time on ice tonight, except there was Weber saw 27 minutes. Compared that to like a guy like Petrie, who's going at 20 minutes. This was the first night that, or the first game, it's not night, it was an afternoon, in which it looked like Julien decided, I'm going to lean on Weber, and I'm going to lean on... The minutes weren't quite as evenly proportioned as we've seen them throughout the rest of the season so far.
That's your shutdown pair, right? Yeah. Like, if you're trying to
and
shut
you were shutting down,
down. That's the guys you're going to. You're not going to Petrie, who likes to go north-south, and Edmondson, who likes to sit in one spot.
Yeah.
Like, you're going with the guys who have gotten you there. So I don't mind that. I know a lot of people have loved the ice time distribution this year, as have I. Like, it's been nice to see them roll 4 lines and 3 pairs.
But you do that four games like this when it's time for Shea Weber to go out and shut things down. And you see that in the time on ice for the forwards, too. I mean, zero shock that Suzuki and Deneau were 1 and 2. Those are the guys who are just going to... And parting thoughts here. My favorite part of this game, by far, was after his weakest disappointment of the season, my son, Nick Suzuki, looked great again. He was doing good stuff once more. So happy to see that. Yeah. He had a nice bounce back game. Any parting thoughts on your part, Mr. Boisvert?
I am not looking forward to the next time they play this team. I don't like the way Ottawa plays hockey. I understand why they play this way. It's so they don't get embarrassed. But boy, it's not fun.
It's not as fun as doing what they did to Edmonton and Vancouver and everybody else. That was more fun. But hey, they're 8-2-2. That ain't bad. 18 points, depending on what Toronto does on Saturday night, they could be in first place. But no matter what Toronto does, the Leafs probably do play again before they meet the Habs on Wednesday.
I would imagine. I think they'll play one more time before Wednesday.
So either way, they'll be very close in the standings. We don't know yet if it's for first place at this point, but it probably will be. It's going to be fun. Ian, thanks for the Saturday stop by. Look at this, 36 minutes. You always... It's a mini pod, okay?
Yeah. I know. I don't know what that is. Everything's bigger in America. Actually, you said that.
If we were doing time on mic, you'd see one of us is making this longer than the other, and it probably isn't the guy I'm blaming. Okay. Find him on Twitter at maybe it's Ian. I'm at Zach Drops Tweets, at the Montreal Bias, at Rabbit Habs. Follow all of them. It's just a good time. It's just two guys back and forthing between four accounts.
Just guys being dudes.
Might as well be the name of most podcasts. All right. Till Thursday after that big Leafs game. Take care, Ian. Take care, everybody. Thanks, bud.
All right. Yeah.